life and what we've been going through. I know we have our widow ladies in here this morning with us, and we're thankful for that. We enjoy our widow ladies. They behaved themselves so wonderfully last night. I was very proud of them. There's a couple times I'm never sure about some of them, how they're going to act. And they acted very, one of them came up to me and said, I'm going to surprise you. And she says, I'm going to behave myself. I says, I don't think you can do it. Well, she did it, and she did a good job. And thank you for all those ladies that helped decorate. They did a great job yesterday. Also, thank you for all those that helped clean up, too. And I appreciate that and all the work that's there, too. Let's look here. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit of God. If we're going to live the Spirit-filled life, you know who we need? We need Him. And we looked at some different areas in His life, how He does His work in our lives. We talked about His salvation ministry. His saving ministry. We talked about how He's the one that convicts us. He's the one that seals us. He's the one that baptizes us into the body of Christ. And you look in the scripture, the Holy Spirit's part when it comes to salvation. We talked about the sanctifying ministry. He's trying to make us like Jesus Christ so we can glorify God. And we talked about the different areas in life, how he brings things to light to us. He shows us the things that we need to work on. He shows us where we fall short. He gives us the ability to live like Jesus. We talked about a strengthening ministry, and I really enjoyed that one. I've enjoyed all of them, but the strengthening ministry, He is the one that gives us the strength. When we are weak, He gives us the strength. We must always realize that we need the Holy Spirit's strength. We need His help. We talked about how He is part in our serving ministry, how He's the one that enables us. He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that does it through us, but He's the one that does the work for us. And this week, we're going to look at His separating ministry. Separating ministry. You know what? We're not like everybody else. We're children of God if we're Christians. And we're supposed to be different. And today, when we look at this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter number 5, what a great passage. We're going to look here in verses 8 through 17. The Word of God says in Ephesians 5, verse number 8, He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So he puts it right there. He says, before you were in darkness, before you were in bondage, before we were children of the devil, but now something has happened. Something has changed. There's a difference. He says, now are ye in the Lord, in light in the Lord. And then he gives us a command. Walk as children of light. There is a way that a child of God is supposed to walk. Some people don't like to hear messages like that or think that we're supposed to be different. No. The Bible says, it says, walk as, look what it says here. Walk as children of light. Walk as if you're walking in the Spirit. The light that God reflects and Jesus' life reflects in us. Verse number 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, so you have in this passage of Scripture, it says, look, if you're going to be in the fruit of the Spirit, if you're going to be producing this fruit, you know what's going to produce? It's going to be goodness, it's going to be righteousness, and it's going to be truth. Verse number 10 continues on, says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, there's a certain way we're supposed to walk. Redeeming the time, there's a certain time we're supposed to be doing this because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse number 18, he ends this thought by saying, you know what? The most important thing is to be Spirit-filled. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need God's filling. We got to stop trying to think about how we're going to do things on our own. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. When we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. He's trying to sanctify us. He's trying to strengthen us. He's trying to encourage us that are serving. We cannot do this on our own. I know that lots of times we like to think of ourselves as self-made people. But you know what? We need God's help. If we're going to do this Christian life, if we're going to walk as children of the light, we need the Holy Spirit's help. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's look at this thought, this separating ministry. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the people that are in this room. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, Lord, their good attitudes, their spirit, Lord, and Lord, I pray that you just give us a desire to want to walk as children in the light, to walk as a child of God, to act a certain way because of who our Father is. Lord, help us to let the Holy Spirit of God do the work. Help us not to just in our own minds think, well, this is what I should be, this is what a Christian should be. No. Let the Holy Spirit have control so he can teach us what he thinks and teach us what God wants us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever been lost? I hate being lost. I don't know about you. I hate being lost. I love using my GPS because once I'm, not that I'm really directionally challenged, I just never, I'd rather make sure. You know, one of the most frustrating things in all the world is when the GPS is wrong. That just annoys me to no end. You know, why do you have the thing if it doesn't take you to the right spot? I get to a spot and it says, it's on the left. I'm looking around, it's not on the left. And that just makes you want to take the thing, throw it out the window, and roll over it a couple of different times with the car. But in the end, I know it's helped me before, so I'm not going to do that. Plus, I'd sell it on eBay before I do that. One of the most practical ministries of the Holy Spirit is he can guide us, and one of the greatest needs we have is discernment. In our Christian lives, one of the greatest things we need is discernment. The Holy Spirit of God, if you can believe in him and have his faith in him, can confidently show you what God's will is. You know, it's very, very frustrating to get lost. It's even more frustrating to say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm here. I'm stuck. I'm at this spot. I don't know what direction to go. And sometimes God wants us to wait, but many times what we have to learn how to do is to give the Holy Spirit control and let the Holy Spirit begin to give us a little bit of light at a time and show us this. Colossians 1:9 says the Apostle Paul was praying for the church of Colossae, and this is a verse, if you want to know how to pray for me, this is a great verse. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. It means that Paul did it all the time. The church of Colossae was on their mind, he was praying, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Be filled with the knowledge of his will and all knowledge and spiritual understanding. Sometimes people say, well, how can I pray for you? You know, that's one thing that I tell you in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It's a great thing to pray for anyone. But if you got a prayer list and you pray for me, go over those verses and say, you know, pray that the pastor be filled with the knowledge of his will. Because that's what I want. I want God's will. I want God's will for our church. I want God's will for my life, my family's life, for my children. I want God's will for you. And in knowledge and spiritual understanding, in all types of areas, I want God's will. And that's one way that it's great to pray for people that way, especially people that that are in leadership. We need discernment in many areas. We need discernment when it comes to our family. We need discernment when it comes to buying a big purchasing something. We need discernment when it comes to friends, relationships, jobs. And the Holy Spirit of God, he has separated us aside. We've been separated. We've been sanctified. We've been made holy for a certain purpose. And he will give us discernment if we allow him. Let's first look at this thought, the direction of the Lord. The direction of the Lord. And a little bit that I already said, even more frustrating is to be at a place where your life, when there seems to no guidance available for decisions you need to make or direction you need to go, is at these times that you discover the guiding ministry of the Holy Spirit. With the indwelling Holy Spirit, we need never to be without guidance. The Holy Spirit takes his word and teaches us and prompts us his will for our lives. Think about the direction of the Lord. Before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were spiritually dark. Scripture often reminds us and highlights us, and these are some of my favorite verses because it shows us the difference here. Look what it says in Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. We were in darkness, and thankfully something opened our eyes, and we now are no longer have to be in that darkness. We've been turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You think about the differences here. Having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work uncleanness or greediness. You know, this is the way we were, but look what we are now. For sometimes, you are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. walk as children of light. There is a difference in his life. There's been a change. And it's amazing if you see the difference here. Now that we know Christ, it is God's desire that we walk as children of light. The Holy Spirit provides this direction for us. We cannot know God's will without the Holy Spirit's help. He desires to spread the light that we brought to our souls at salvation, to give us the daily choices, to tell us how He wants us to live. God is interested in what you're doing. He wants you to be Spirit-filled, and He wants you to step-by-step see what He wants in your life. You think about the light of His presence. We talked about how there's been a change. You think about the light of His presence. You know, once again, we were in darkness. Now, because we have the Holy Spirit of God, we have light, we have guidance, we have help. Before, we didn't have it, but we do now. This is referred here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. A person who is lost, a person who is unsaved, is not going to understand our Christian lives. They might sympathize with us. They might say, I understand why you do that. But they're not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, we don't like to think that. We like to think our friends and our family, the people who influence us, the people who tell us, hey, I think you should go this way, I think you should go this direction. If they are not Christians, according to what the Bible says, they cannot discern spiritual things. Do not be going to a lost person to give you help and guidance. You think about David, and when he went to Saul, who I believe was lost, he went up to Saul and said, I can fight Goliath. And Saul said, let me tell you how you should fight Goliath. It wasn't God's intention. It wasn't God's will. So we need to be careful. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. See, before salvation, you and I could not accurately discern spiritual matters. Now, we could be wise in the idea that we have some knowledge and we apply that wisdom naturally, but spiritually, it says we couldn't do it. We didn't understand how to apply God's word to our lives, and many times we are not even interested in applying God's word. We sometimes think we know exactly what we're supposed to do. We don't refer to God's word, and naturally, in our flesh, we say, this is what I want to do. See, that's what happens when we turn away from what God's word says and begin listening to what we want. So, you think about how does the Holy Spirit of God does this? He does this in using the light of His Word. You know, it's amazing. I think it's amazing that the Holy Spirit uses this tool here. He uses God's Word to give us what He wants us to have. Think about it. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, the idea, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't have the discernment. Now, the Holy Spirit God says, if you're going to walk after Jesus, if you're going to walk in my Spirit, what's it say? He'll give you light then. He will give you light. Look what it says in Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we see here there is light that He will give. Now, I think it's interesting. We want to know what's going to happen years down the road. We want to know what's going to happen next month. But if you're walking with a lantern, or if you're walking with a light, oftentimes all God does is gives you just enough light to take the next step. And as you're following after Him, you just keep on walking in that pathway, step by step by step. And the Holy Spirit of God does this. I think it's amazing, the contrast. If we go back and we look at those verses, what does Satan do? He binds us. He blinds us. He does whatever He can to take us off the right path. And what does Jesus do? He liberates us. He gives us light. What a contrast. Satan binds people in darkness while Christ liberates them by truth. Satan blinds minds in unbelief while the Lord leads His children in faith. There's a complete contrast. Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God is trying to give you the light. The devil just wants you to be deceived. The devil doesn't want to see you who yourself or who you are. He wants to blind your eyes. It's God's desire that He leads us. You think about it. In Psalms chapter 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then what is, as the shepherd, what does He do? He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Say, Pastor, my waters don't seem very still. You know, my soul needs to be restored sometimes. And see, that's what He's saying here. If we will be spirit-filled and follow after him, this is what God can do. You know, the amazing thing is the shepherd, the sheep don't know the dangers that are around them. The sheep have no really, it's a shepherd that takes them and leads them to the brook that he wants them to drink out of because he thinks it's a safe spot. The sheep really don't have any type of defensive knowledge. And that's what, even though it might seem like everything is going crazy, he can still find the still waters. Even though it seems like everything is going horrible, he can bring us to those green pastures. He can restore your soul. I've seen some people go through some of the hardest times in their lives, but they're still drinking of the still water, still eating the green pastures, still seeing and giving God praise and credit. We think of Brother Bishop, with his story, and Brother Campbell and his story, and I've seen some as they go through and say, you know what? I'm happy. I'm satisfied. When I got to see Miss Leah, I'm trying to remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday. I think it was Thursday. She said to me, she says, I'm ready to go home. And I said to her, says, you're not that bad. And I says, you need to stay here for a little while because, you need to get better. She says, no, I'm not talking about that home. He says, I'm ready to go home and see my master. And, he says, I don't want to feel like this anymore. And so, she says, if either he makes me feel better or he just takes me home. And, she had peace about that. And I talked to other people that weren't ready to go home and just did not have peace. And they were blinded by the devil and their minds were, and it's amazing what God can offer us and what the devil can offer us. But why do we so often want those things that the devil offers? Like we heard on Wednesday night, those things aren't yours. That's not what God has intended for you. That's, there are things that God wants for you. He wants you to have the green pastures. He wants you to have the still waters. He wants your soul to be restored. He wants to lead you in paths of righteousness. How does that happen? That's where the Holy Spirit of God comes in here. We talked about He is our friend. He is our guider. We went through all those different weeks about the things He did. He gives us direction. He gives us leadership. He is the one that can give us discernment. What's the right decision? What's not the right decision? Where does that come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why it's important to remember that. Not only do we see this, we see also the protection of the Lord. The protection of the Lord. As we commit to follow the Lord's leadership of the Holy Spirit, He will protect us from harm that we too easily bring upon our own selves. You know, in our own ignorance, and foolishness, we bring harm to ourselves. Sometimes we allow things into our lives because we're not spirit-filled or we're not checking with the Lord or the Holy Spirit about what we should or should not do. And because of our own ignorance, which means a lack of knowledge, or because of our own foolishness, we bring danger upon ourselves. Many times if we look back on our lives the last 10, 15, 20 years, the things that we struggle with is because we allowed something in our life that we should never allow to happen. We should have never done that. We should have never looked at that. We should have never had that friend. I should have never stopped doing this. You know, whatever it is, because we did not listen to the Holy Spirit of God, His discernment in our lives, we just kind of went on through. The Holy Spirit of God, He gives us protection. He does it by His promptings. Look what it says in Ephesians 5:9. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Every time we look to the Holy Spirit for guidance, He is going to direct us. What is He going to direct us to? He's going to direct us to things that have goodness, righteousness, and truth. He's going to lead us to the goodness, the righteousness, and the truth. That is His fruit. If there are things happening in your life that is not goodness, righteousness, and truth, we should be able to look at those things and say, the Holy Spirit is not leading me there. When I look at my entertainment, when I look at my music, when I look at how I dress, I need to ask myself, my influences, my friends, are they goodness? Are they righteousness? Are they truth? The Bible says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. It says, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You know, this is His promptings. This is where He leads us. Our flesh seeks to justify our choices as we feed our carnal natures, but God leads His Spirit to give us discernment about certain promptings. He says, look, I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to be a part of that. I don't want you to have any of that because it's not goodness, righteousness, and truth. He also tells us not only does He do this through prompting, He also gives us another thing. Look what it says in verse number 10. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is another thought. Have we really approved what is acceptable unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit not only prompts our minds to make decisions that are good, righteous, and true, He teaches us to discern what actually is good and what is actually acceptable to the Lord. Think about this. Our definition of good may not be the same as God's definition. Our definition of good may not be the same as God's definition. What do you mean? Not all people are the same. You know, there are some people who can pick up guns and go shoot people and kill people, and they think they're doing it in the name of God. They're doing it in the name of Allah. They think that they are doing something good. They're ridding the people of all the whatever they call us. I don't know, whatever it is. They're ridding all the wicked, all the evil. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us to prove that which is good. Say, I'm not going to go pick up a gun and shoot people. No, 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 but, you know, is that good in God's eyes? Stop looking at what things are in my eyes. What does God say? Are we going to prove what is good and acceptable? Philippians 1:10 says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How do we do this? This is by the Holy Spirit. We need His help. We need His promptings. We need to say, okay, let me look at this. Is this full of goodness, righteousness, and truth? Is this something that God would have me to do? This word prove does not mean to show evidence for. This word prove means to examine, to scrutinize. It suggests the need that the Holy Spirit gives us a sermon on what is genuine and what is acceptable of God. It's a type of proving in which God gives you the ability to exercise discernment, proving what is true and what is acceptable in His sight. Now, left to our own reasoning, many times we approve things that we think are good. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. But is it acceptable to God? But through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit can help us. John Owens once said, without absolutes revealed by God Himself, we are left rudderless in a sea of conflicting ideas about matters, about justice, about right, about wrong, issuing from a multitude of self-opinionated thinkers. Let me read that again. John Owens said once, without absolutes revealed by God Himself, we are left rudderless in a sea of conflicting ideas about matters, about justice, about right, about wrong, issuing from a multitude of self-opinionated thinkers. One of the things that it's hard and tough sometimes is that even different pastors disagree about things. And they look at things, different way, and they says, okay, well, this is how we're going to go, and this is how I believe. And then sometimes there's a little bit of a conflict. Not sometimes, I know there's preferences, don't get me wrong. But when they look at things and they view things from different perspectives, we got to stop worrying about self-opinionated peoples and turn to God and say, God, what is acceptable? What is truth? What is righteousness? What is goodness? And let the Holy Spirit help us. The pages of Scripture, God tells us what's acceptable to Him. He gives us His Spirit to teach us and to apply this to our life. The choice is ours. We seek to discern God's will, or we just going to merely ignore it. So here's your choice. Remember, there's two choices on the shelf, please God or please self. You know, are we going to believe what the Bible says? Are we going to say, okay, this is my discernment, this is my will, this is what God wants, and that's what He wants us to do. Prove what is acceptable. Not unto our wives, not unto our husbands, not ignoring what God wants, but instead, prove what is acceptable in God's sight. So, let's look at the instruction of the Lord. Let's look at the instruction of the Lord. That was not very smart, was it? I pushed the wrong button. Maybe not. Oh, that's even worse. We can finish up without this. So, I know Mr. Cartwright's in the back of the room thinking, should I go up front? Should I not go up front? We'll finish it. You got your outline there. So next thing is the instruction of the Lord. There's three different things. If we are going to let the Holy Spirit of God discern, teach us and discern us, there's three things I see in this passage of Scripture that can help us. The first thing I want you to think about, it's a separated stand. It's a separated stand. Look what it says in verses 11 through 14. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He's look, this is what you're supposed to do. And he said, I don't like this. Now look what it says. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So we see here, it's a separated stand. Let's think for a second. Who's the book written to? is written to the church of Ephesus. And what do we know about the church of Ephesus? Well, remember back when Paul first went there, church of Ephesus had that huge temple to Diana, and talk about how there was a great revival there and how people came. And in Acts chapter number 19, he says, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them, and it was 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. See, they were part of some type of wickedness. They were part of some curious arts. They were part of dealing with demonic type things, and they brought all those things, witchcraft things, and they brought all those things, and they put it in a big pile, and they had a big bonfire. What were they doing? They were taking a separated stand. This is what I used to do, and I don't want to do that anymore, so I'm showing to the Lord, here, I'm giving you a chance. We need the instruction of the Lord. He tells us not to. In His words, He says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Paul encouraged this action. He knew it was impossible for these young Christians to continue on serving God if they were going to be hampered by those things that hurt them before in the past. I had somebody here recently. I went to visit their house, and he said, some people are... Let me make sure I use the right word. Some people are a little bit crazier, a little bit overboard, because they take, they take things and they burn them and he talked about how, he says, I don't understand why people sometimes burn their rock and roll music and things like that. And I said, look, when I gave things over to the Lord, I didn't give it over to somebody else because I thought it was bad. It was wicked. I was one that burned that stuff. I didn't want anybody else to be influenced by it. And what were you doing? I was getting rid of those things that I need to separate from. And that's what he's saying. If there's something you need to separate from, maybe you were not saved from the occult lifestyle, but the Holy Spirit of God can give us wisdom and truth, and He can tell us, hey, we do not want you to walk this way anymore. Think what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness, and what concord have Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, what is that all that saying? We're supposed to be separated. And that's the way the Bible says. Now, obviously, how are we going to isolate ourselves from sinners? No, we're not supposed to isolate ourselves. We're supposed to try to reach others. And if you look at this passage of Scripture, what does it say? It says, but rather reprove them. But it keeps on going. It says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. If you're walking in the light, your light is going to make manifest their wickedness and their evil ways. And this indicates we would be confronting their sin with the convicting truth of the Scripture. It means that we share with them the gospel of Christ. It means we encourage them to turn to the Lord. But as you can see, there's a wide gap between sharing the gospel and being in fellowship with them, being in agreement with them, making them close personal friends. No. The Bible says, what fellowship have Christ with Belial? We don't like to think of it that way. We like to have our friends. We like to have our fellowship. We like to, once again, we should try to reach out to those that are lost. But are those people influencing us? Are those people guiding us? Are those people saying, giving you marriage tips? Why? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God's supposed to do that. Are those people the ones that are telling us, hey, this is what I think your church should do? If they're not even a Christian, why should they have any? Remember, the natural man does not understand the spiritual things. We need to be careful. The Spirit of God is the one that gives us leadership guidance. And I know the Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Make sure your counselors are people that are being led by the Spirit of God. Make sure they're not people that are either unsaved or away from the Lord. Because it's very dangerous to have giving out advice if you're not right with God. And you know what? Lots of times you don't have to give out advice. Just say, hey, look, I'll be praying for you. If you're not right with the Lord, don't be like Saul giving out some bad advice. Send them to a spiritual leader, someone you know is right with the Lord, someone that can help them. So I encourage you there. So not only is it a safe, separated stand, there's also a serious walk. You look what it says here. It says in let's look at verse number 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And here's this idea. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now, this word circumspectly is not used very often, but you can probably see the word circumference in there. As you might guess, it talks about looking around carefully. It's the idea of being aware of your surroundings and being alert of what's something that could be dangerous. So look at, as you read it, think of it this way. So then that you walk circumspectly, that in your walk, you're looking for dangerous and harmful things. It says, keeps on going, it says, not as fools, but as wise. If you just walk through this life without having any type of checks, any type of balances, without looking to the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says you're walking foolishly. You need to be working circumspectly because you have an enemy out there that's trying to lay traps and is trying to lay mines out there, that's trying to lay all types of things out there to destroy you. You got to be careful. I know sometimes when we see a snake in our yard, and my wife comes out the next week, she's walking very circumspectly. She's looking out the door. She's looking around. She's making sure that there isn't anything that is not, even if we killed it, you know, the mom might be around, or the dad, or the babies might be around. You're circumspectly. And when you're at war and you're over there and people plant, you know, put those landmines there, what are they doing? They're taking steps very carefully and they're using equipment, making sure that they're walking the right way. That's what they're talking about, walking circumspectly. Take your walk seriously. Take steps and look around and look to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Let Him give you wisdom and let Him give you guidance. You know what? Another thing is, I think it's important that you see in verse number 16, that our serious walk not only includes being careful, but it also includes making sure we make good use of the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what? We need to redeem time. We need to say, okay, how much more time am I going to have in this life? I want to make the rest count. And you know, you have that illustration, you know, you start over here at zero and usually to, you know, 70 years old. And if you're my age, that means I'm already about here. And I don't got much time left. And you're like, well, I'm all the way over here, or I'm all the way over here, or some of us are over here on this other side, you know. What is that? How are we going to use your time that's left? You know, you don't have much time left. Is it the time now to stop? I don't think it is. I think it's now, you know, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I know you might not physically be able to do as much, but boy, it's time now to even do more. You're in the fourth quarter. At the end of the game, things get more serious. At the end of the game, you push all you got left into it, and you're redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. I think everybody who's now older, they would say, man, things have gotten so bad. Things have gotten so wicked. Things are evil nowadays. Then let's redeem the time. Let's take the moments that we have and use them for the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might, for whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, and the grace whither thou goest. You know, it's time to do whatever we get chance in the Lord. There's a little quote. I know some of you had to step out for ministry reasons, but there's a little quote there. It says, to know the will of the Lord, of the God, is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. So let's remember, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. Last thing, and we'll finish up with this, it's a spirit-filled life too. A spirit-filled life. You look what it says in verse number 18. This is how it finishes. This is where we need to be concerned with. Am I spirit-filled? It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, how do we all boil down? Are we being led by the Spirit of God? Say, Pastor, I can't do all these things. I'm so busy as it is. How can I be walking circumspectly? How can I be discerning? How can I be proving? How can I? See, that's why He gave us the Spirit. He's supposed to be helping us do these things. Your job, what you're supposed to be concerned with, am I Spirit-filled? Am I letting the Holy Spirit of God control and lead my life? He'll take care of the rest. That's His job. You ever had somebody that tried to do your job for you? Anybody that tried to help you along with your job? And like, here, let me help you. You don't want any help. You don't need any help. You got out of control. They're pretty much just going to get in your way if you try to help them. You know, you're there now. You're just going to slow me down. Maybe that's what we do with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, let me decide this part. Let me help over here. That person can be sometimes annoying. I know sometimes even when a little child, and obviously you don't mind if your son or daughter because you want to help them, but sometimes there's times says, you can't help today. I got, this is too important, or I got too much to do. And with the Holy Spirit of God, we got to remember, we need to let Him lead us and guide us and direct us. We need to let Him do His job so we can do our jobs too. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.